So, do you have any notes that you've written down in reference to this that you'd like to have discussed at this time? Any of you?
Yes, questions.
Okay, Mr. D. Thank you. Mr. D. tells us that dike is pronounced D-I-K-E in the local language, I-G-B-O language, but in English language it is pronounced D-Y-K-E. Difference is only in the pronunciation, so it means the same thing. Reality, super, fantastic, fun, perfect, harmony, fulfilling, good, and very good. Dyke, D-I-K-E, D-Y-K-E, family, smile. Thank you. And thank you for taking the time to inform me. Any other bit of brilliance that is coming out of our meditative thinking here? Okay, here comes a wonderful robed monk with the beautiful statement. Let's see what you have. He says, questions 1, 2, and 3. 1, what is this spirit of where did you get the word spirit of infinite life?
Infinite life.
From me? Where did you get the word spirit of infinite life?
No, as I read, I come across it.
Your cousin?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. But the thing is, no, just a minute, please, everybody. I asked the question, he writes, what is this spirit of infinite life? And I have no idea what he's talking about. I know there is only the spirit of infinite life, not this spirit. So this spirit of infinite life is about some spirit of infinite life. And that's great. Okay. And the second question he has, what is that power that backs it? Third, from where does it come? All right, my friend. Your cousin said, this spirit of infinite life. If he is talking about a particular spirit of infinite life, I have no idea what he's talking about. It can be anything. But if he's talking about the spirit of infinite life, and words are important. Words are very important, and we use them correctly. The spirit of infinite life, which I don't believe is what you're talking about, if you're talking about the spirit of infinite life, you're talking about the allness, the is, and you're talking about the divine qualities that we have been speaking about in the seminar so far. And that's good. But you're saying this spirit of infinite life, which may very well mean the spirit of infinite life. Do you think he might mean that? Do you think he might mean that?
No.
Do you think he might mean the spirit of infinite life?
No.
Do you want to respond to me? Do you want to answer me?
I don't know if that is why I want to know more, whether there is any idea for me to know.
What did he say?
He wants to know.
He wants to know.
Yes.
Well,
what are this?
What are the spirit of divinity?
Nahirat.
Huh?
Nahirat.
Huh?
He wants to know whether
there is of that nature or not.
I said, the spirit of infinite life exists. It's the allness. It's what we've been talking about all the seminar so far. And I agree that it is a fact that is fantastic. If he is saying this spirit of infinite life, meaning a specific separate spirit of infinite life, then we're talking about something different. Now, people come in here and we are talking about divinity, we are talking about goodness, we are talking about wholeness, we are talking about right action, we're talking about purity, we're talking about all that is good, the highest, the highest, the highest, the best. And then they want to take us down into the shit pile. And they want to take us into the devil. They want to take us into making interpretations of the Bible. I'm not talking about the Bible and the devil. I'm not talking about all these things that are contrary to our highest and highest and highest. And you're saying this spirit of infinite life, and if it is the spirit of infinite life, it's fantastic. It's glorious. It's wonderful. Okay? And then you ask something else here. Two more questions. You say, what is the power that backs it up? There is no power that backs up infinite spirit. Why not? Anybody?
It's itself.
It is the power itself.
There
is no separate powers in this universe. There is no evil power and good power and right power and wrong power. There is only the power of the infinite creative cause that exists for all. Now, that's my point of view. And the reason there are so many churches, so many philosophies and so forth, is that there are so many different points of view. And they are all perfectly desirable to follow if you wish. And you have chosen to listen to me and my philosophy and my point of view, and you find that it's fairly reasonable, and so therefore, that's it. Now, that's the power. That's the power. You got a question there? Yes, I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
In the back. Okay, sure. Okay, anybody else got a question? Okay, now, here we go. On his third part here, he says, from where does it come?
From you. From me.
Where's the kid?
To the
where does the power come from?
From you.
Say it loudly.
From yourself.
From yourself. That's exactly where it comes from. From yourself. And if you are ever going to put power outside of yourself, you are endorsing something to have power over you and control your life and control your world and control, and that's not what you want. That's not what we're sharing with you. The power is where?
Within.
And that's where we go to work with it. Now, do you know that?
Yes.
Now, he's not a babe.
No.
But out of the mouths of babes come the truth that we need to follow and know. Yes. Out of the mouths of the children who are not afraid to say what they understand and what they believe. So, okay, we'll look at this once again here just to make sure we cover it correct. What is this spirit of infinite life? Well, when you say this spirit of infinite life, you're referring to a type of spirit of infinite life. When you're saying the spirit, you're referring to the universal spirit of infinite life. And if you are indeed referring to the universal spirit of infinite life, which is the only spirit of infinite life there is, then I will answer that as I do. It's the allness. And then, what is the power that backs it up? The power that backs it up is the power from within. The power that is divine. The power that is universal. Now, we say God has the power to heal illness. God has the power to do this. God has the power to do that. And that is incorrect. That is a very great misnomer. Because do you have to have power to change your mind?
No.
You just change your mind. Do you have to have a power to make something happen in your life? What do? Speak your word. You speak your word, yes?
Speak your word.
That's all you do. You speak your word. And that's the power. That power is the greatest power in the universe. The power of a wife to her husband saying, oh, sweetheart, you're the greatest, and he melts. Or the power, they're going to have sex together, and she says, now the bills today have been pretty bad. And instantly he's powerless. He's unable to perform. He's unable to be a husband. And it's a shame, but that's the power. Where does that power come from? Within. Where does the power go from? Within. It's the total thing. I give that illustration to you because you'll never forget it. Now, from where does it come? From within. It comes from the divine within us, and it's wonderful. Now, Your question is wonderful, and I appreciate your question, but I also want us to be very careful, because the answer should always be in the question. And if this question were formulated, what is the spirit of infinite life? It means the allness. What is this spirit of infinite life? It depends on whose version it is and how all-inclusive it is, or whether it is inclusive of the allness. Okay, and we understand the power. Now, we have another question here. That's the Dyke question. That's done. And then we have another question here on two sides. Please tell us more about how we can practice our divinity. Well, let's leave that a second. How can we easily break the pull of old habit? Now, we'll take that one first. How can we easily break the pull of an old habit? Now, we've talked about this so far three times in our lectures, but that's okay. It's worthy of repeating again and again and again. How can we break the power, the pull of old habits? So, you have the habit of smoking cigarettes, and it's a habit. And it has got a pull on you, and it's just dragging you and just making a demand on you. And every time you smell a cigarette, you say, oh, I wish I had one, you know. I just need it. You know, you're in the pull of that habit. And so you go and buy yourself patches that you put on you to get yourself all sorts of techniques to stop it. Well, all those techniques do is to remind you that you like to smoke. So what is it that smoking does to you and to your mouth and to your body? It fills you with nicotine. It fills you with a
odor.
Yeah. It fills you with a lot of nonsense that your wife doesn't want to kiss you when you've been smoking. Of course, years ago, she'd kiss you because that's just part of the game of life. But now it's not part of the game of life anymore. It's by your choice. So your wife doesn't kiss you because you've been smoking, and your children don't want to be near you because your clothes smell like smoke all the time, and you smell like some old furnace. And so you want to make the change. And you're very serious about wanting to make the change, very serious about how to get rid of that habit. Well, the best way to get rid of any habit is to put a new habit in motion. And what kind of a new habit would you put in motion when smoking is the habit you want to change? Well, every time you spend a penny or a dollar or whatever cigarettes cost, every time you spend money for the cigarettes, you write down how much you spent. And then you write a little note and say, I will give this equal amount to each of my children's special accounts for education. I will give, if I spend $15 for a carton of cigarettes or whatever they cost these days, I will give $15 to each of my children, and I have 100 children. Ah! I have 10, I have 5, I have 3. How many children you have? So let's say you have 3 children. So you're going to give $30 to each child for the one carton of cigarettes that you buy. And then you may have a run on cigarettes. You want to smoke more, and so the price goes up. But you start this habit of putting money away from for your children every time you buy cigarettes. And you will find that your righteousness, judgment within you, your personal realization of the value of your children's education and the value of your children begin to take precedent over your smoking. And you smoke less and less, but you give more and more to your children's educational fund. And you think to yourself, it's building up. It's building up. By the time they're old enough to go to school, go to college, or wherever they're going to go, they'll have enough money to go to college, and it'll be a big help to all three of them. And so you are changing your reason for smoking. Now, you're not smoking because you want to take all of your money and give it to your children's educational fund. And pretty soon, you put this whole new pattern in motion, and by putting the whole new pattern in motion, you have a whole new result. Changing habits is not difficult. It's only something that we do consciously. And we don't change it consciously. What we do, we put a new cause in motion consciously. And pretty soon, what is our gentleman friend here doing? He is thinking about his children's education more than he's thinking about smoking cigarettes. He's thinking about the good of what he feels that education will do for them rather than smoking cigarettes. Now you say, what might be another habit? What might be another habit that we want to change? Okay. You say that thoughts are things. And so I'm saying I can do anything I want to do because thoughts are things and I'm saying that I can do it, so I can do it. Okay. What's going to happen when you say thoughts are things? Thoughts are things is going to bring up in your mind a recklessness of attitude, a recklessness of how you're handling your life. And because it's going to bring up a recklessness in your life, you're going to do other things in a reckless way, in a careless way, in a non-beneficial way. And so your mind is saying, hey, this is not too cool. This is not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to go off the deep end in the opposite direction. And so you stop. But you don't stop because you want to stop smoking. You stop because you want to stop being careless, or you want to stop being a nonsense. You want to stop being contrary to your well-balanced, normal self. You see, habits go away the minute we have something to put in place of them. People say, well, when you stop smoking, start eating cake, you know, start eating a lot. And you say, well, you get fat as this can be when you eat and stop smoking. Well, don't put something in place of it. Let something be totally separate from it. You don't stop smoking. You begin to see that you have the freshest mouth in the world. Your kiss is the most fresh, beautiful thing that your wife has ever known. You are the most delightful, wonderful lover in the world. You always make yourself as fresh and beautiful and wonderful as can be. And that doesn't necessarily mean taking a bath. What that means is your mental attitude is fresh and beautiful and clean. Your mental attitude is wonderful. And then when you start saying that, then there is no place in your life for cigarettes. There is no place in your life for putting these things in your life, in your body, in yourself that are going to be damaging to you. Now, that's just one way of looking at it. We could have 100 more. How can we practice our divinity, he asks. How can we break the pull of old habits? By putting new causes in motion. Did you have an old habit as an illustration you wanted to use? Yes. Not necessarily yourself or yourself.
Yes.
No?
If you have healed or you have manifested wholeness, then your mind keeps going back to that disease.
I can't be helpful to you not understanding what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm saying that.
What?
If you have healed yourself and made yourself whole.
If you have healed yourself of a given thing.
Yes, if you have healed yourself in your body.
Healed yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How do you break the habit of your mind going back to that disease?
Well, okay, this is what many people do. Many people are unhappy with themselves, and they're unhappy with their world, and in this unhappiness, they want to show the world that that they're unhappy. And so they create for themselves a disease that hurts them very badly, and the world's going to miss them. And the habit might be a cancer disease. And so you have this cancer disease that is going through your body, and you're not happy about it. And you say, I made a mistake there. I don't want to have cancer in my body. How can I put a new cause in motion so that I don't have cancer anymore? I've started it, now I don't want it. And I know I started it because it's my choice. Nothing happens by accident in our life. Nothing happens by chance in our life. It's all thoughts are things. Thoughts are things. Now, I want to say thoughts are things 3 million times. Okay? Thoughts are things 3 million times. All right? You have the thought that you are unhappy with your world. You are unhappy with life. You'd like to move to the next dimension. Well, I tell everybody, if you want to move to the next dimension, don't get sick to move. Just go. We'll miss you just as much as we miss you one way or another. As you go in a healthy body, we'll miss you as you go in a sick body. The sick body makes you feel that you had to go. The healthy body makes us feel you don't have to go. Now, so you put the cause in motion that you have cancer. And these are thoughts. I have cancer. And you realize that that's going to kill you off. That's going to knock you off. And then you're getting down in the tube, and then you decide, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I want to live. I don't want to move to my next dimension. And I don't want to move because of a sick body. And so you change your thought. You put a new thought in motion. Now, can any of you tell me what we do every morning in our seminar here? What do we do every morning, first thing in the morning, in the seminar?
Proclaim our divinity.
And how many times do we say, I am God?
Four times.
Millions of times.
We say it forever. And when we stop saying it, we're still saying it. When we stop saying it, we're still thinking it. When we're going through the day, we're still thinking it. And we don't believe it yet, but we're still thinking it. We're still thinking it. We're still thinking it. And as the days go on and you practice this, you are building up that vibration within yourself of, I am God. I like me. I am God. I like me. I am God. I like me. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. Now, sometimes we get hoarse or we say it too much for ourselves, so we take a little pause and we just breathe a little bit and then go on. But practice, practice, practice.
That's perfect.
And as you practice this, you are putting a cause in motion of being God and having this magnificent expression of all good in your life. Okay? So, you're experiencing cancer in your body. Let's forget why you have it, the reason it's there, that you're angry at the world and you want to show them that they'll miss you when you're dead and the world doesn't care. But you want to say all those things. And then you decide, no, I don't want to die. I want to live. And so instead of saying, I don't want to die, 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 that's not what you mean, is it?
No.
What do you mean, anybody?
I want to live.
Now let's make that even better. Not that I want to live.
I'm alive.
I'm alive, alert, enthusiastic about life. I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. When you are in your casket and you haven't really died and you claw at the top of the casket, hey, I'm still living in here, open the door. And they hear it because they haven't put you under the earth yet. And they open the casket and you say, what did you guys close me up in here for? What is this all about? Hey, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive. What are you saying to them? You're alive. And what are they saying to you? Well, for goodness sakes, come out. Let me help you out. I'm so glad to see you're alive. and you've got that pretty dress on or that pretty suit on, and you're alive. You're alive. Let's go tell your family. Let's go tell your friends. And so you go to the wake. You go to the wake. And here, what was dead is now alive, coming to the wake. And everybody at the wake says, oh my God. They go cuckoo. But I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Isn't that nice? I want to be alive. But are you alive and able to say, I want to be alive? Or are you alive and able to say, I am alive? You're still alive. They haven't put you down yet. They haven't buried you. You're still alive. And you say, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I've worked with many people who had cancer and who listened to me. Not all people listened to me, but I worked with a lot of people. And I tell them, hey, you want to live or die? Whatever your choice is, you can do it, and you're perfectly free to do it. There's no problem. It's your choice. You know, it's your body. It's your life. You may do what you like. And many times they said, well, the doctor said I am dying. Well, that's because you gave the doctor the reason to believe you're dying by living in a dying body. Now, you want to live? Put a new cause in motion. I'm whole and perfect. 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 And then call the doctor in and ask him to tell your family it's a misdiagnosis. It was incorrect that he was saying you're going to die. And then what happens? The doctor tells the family that with his tongue in his cheek, you know. And then the family says, oh, you're going to live. How wonderful. And all of that enthusiasm and your enthusiasm and your joy and that joy, you know what happens to the cancer? Poof. The cells in your body that acted in ways that were improper for them to act, which is what cancer is, the cells in your body that didn't get the right message, they're the stem cells, the undifferentiated cells that got the message that they should just grow wild. They got the message now that they should stop it. They got the message now that they should grow under control. They should grow for a purpose, not for no purpose. And then the cells grow for the purpose, and the body returns to its original purity and integrity. And how wonderful that is. Now, how did that come about? By putting a new cause in motion, where the old cause was, I'm going to die, I want to die, I hate to be around you, nobody loves me anymore, no, nothing's going right. You just feel sorry for yourself, and so you're killing yourself, and you're creating cancer to do it. You're killing yourself, and you're creating a pneumonia to do it. Pneumonia is often a good way to kill yourself. Now, there's lots of diseases to kill yourself. In fact, there's another way to kill yourself, which is kind of effective. You have someone take a pillow and put it over your face and hold it there. What happens? You can't breathe anymore. And you kick off. It's cheaper than a gun. It's cheaper than anything else. But, of course, if the law finds out what you've done, they put you away because you cannot assist somebody else in dying. They can do it to themselves because the law can't put them away if they're dead, you know. But the thing is, you don't assist people in dying.
At all.
Our job is to, if you want, assist people in living, starting with yourself, by putting the cause in motion, which is going to benefit you and them and everything else, which is a wonderful way to have it. And this is the way we want to live our life. Now, did we touch your question somewhat? Yes? No?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Please tell us more about how we can practice our divinity. Oh, all right. Tell us more about how we can practice our divinity, and that's my joy. That's my joy in telling you and telling me and telling us how we can practice our divinity. All right. My first statement is, all is divine. All is divine. Is there anything negative in the universe? No. All is divine. Who calls negative negative? You do. It doesn't have negative as its name. That doesn't belong to it. You have named it and given it that bit. All is divine. All is divinity. How do we all use divinity in our life every moment to have the most fun using our divinity? How do we do that? We do that by living in a healthy body, in a healthy mind, in a healthy community, in a healthy world, in a healthy life. Now, this is the rub. If you are healthy, if you are wealthy, if you are happy, if you are all that is good and wonderful, okay? If you are that, that's beautiful. If you are not that, then that's too bad. But if you are not that, and then you say, how can we live a more divine life? Or how does he say that here? How can we, please tell us more about how we can practice our divinity. That's good. How can we practice our divinity? So, we practice our divinity by first deciding that we are going to say what it is that we want to be divine. Do I want divine toes? Do I want a divine nose? Do I want a divine body? Do I want a divine world? Do I want a world that is absolutely pure air, pure water, pure food, pure goodness, pure everything? Do I want a world that is fabulous in every way? Do I want a world? Well, that's not our divinity. Why? Because we say it differently, don't we?
Yes, we do.
What do we say?
Yes, we do. We see things differently.
Our world is divine. Not that we want it. You see, when we want it, that means what?
We don't have it.
We lack it. Yeah. When we want something, we don't have it.
This is what you lack and want.
Yeah, lack and want. When we say that, we don't have it.
That's it.
And we're not going to have it because we're continually saying we don't want it, have it. We want it. We want it. We want. I want a new car. 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 And if you say, I have a new car, I have a new car, and let it be revealed to you, it will be revealed to you quickly and wonderfully and beautifully. And if you are a rich consciousness person, you will have a very nice car revealed to you, and you'll like it very much. Okay, now, how do we practice our divinity? How do we live our divinity in the most beautiful and the most fantastic way? How can we practice our divinity? Well, before you can practice something, you have to know what the definition of that word is. What is the definition of the word divinity?
Divinity.
What's the definition of the word God?
The God in us.
Hmm?
The God as the
definition of God.
The definition of these words are whatever we give them. Like Mr. D here, Mr. Dyke, he says that he is taking the translation of his name from the, what do you call it, the rogue slang, what is it? He's taking it from something else other than English. And because he's taking it from something other than English, what he's doing, he's trying to make him one of the gang. And by making himself one of the gang, he will lose all his integrity because he will not be unique and beautiful as he has been all of his life up to now. He will put himself on the same slate as everybody else, seeking, wanting, desiring, trying to force issues in the world instead of putting the causes in motion for those issues to just manifest beautifully and fantastically. Don't ever change your name from the name you're using all of your life Because if you do, what you're doing is you're just telling the world that you don't like the name that you've been using. You're not proud of it. But that's okay. Okay, now, what does the word divinity mean? The word divinity means that which is divine, that which is spiritually illumined. Wouldn't you say divinity was spiritually illumined? Divinity is that which is the allness of the universe. That takes it up pretty good. Divinity is that which is the magnificence of our thinking and our acting and our world. How wonderful that is. Divinity is all good. Divinity is the divine at work in our life. Okay, now, how do we do that? He says here, how can we practice our divinity? Well, we practice our divinity when we say, I am divine. When we say, I am whole and perfect. Divine is whole and perfect. When we say, I am the allness, I am the isness, I am that I am, I am the beautiful aspects of the universe, and I am the beautiful aspects of all life that exists. I am that. Now, when we say that, what happens to us? When we say that, we are putting a cause in motion for that to be our reality. Now, how can we practice our divinity? We practice our divinity by just being fantastic people. Are you a wonderful person? Are you a thoughtful person? Are you a considerate, loving person? Let's just take one phrase alone and make that our phrase. One phrase alone, and let it be who we are at all times. One phrase. And we don't have to work with any other phrase at all, but just one phrase.
I am unconditional loving.
I am unconditionally loving. You don't know what divine means. Good, tell me what divine means. Divine means I'm God. Divine means I'm the allness, the isness, the goodness. Divine means I'm I don't know what divine means. Who does? But you do know what unconditional love is. And unconditional love is when you love yourself without any condition. No matter how bad you've been or how good you've been, you love yourself. And you don't even think of the past. You don't even think of the things that you did that were stupid in your past. You don't think of them at all. That's foregone. That's by. That's away. That's past. All that is now is who you are now. If a husband and wife were to bring up all the disgust that they had over their married lifetime, they would not stay married. Because every husband and wife has enough garbage in their garbage heap against each other that it would absolutely destroy their marriage if that was what they brought up all the time. And some marriages do that, and then they destroy themselves. They separate themselves and they cease to be. It's just that way. Now, why is it? That's just the way it is. Now, do they like it? That's just the way it is. And are you going to be like that?
No.
Are you going to bring up the doubts, the bad things of your past? Are you going to bring it up?
No.
All right. Then if you're not going to bring it up, then you're not going to be destroyed by it. You're not going to be controlled by it. You're not going to be put in disarray by it. So now, let's just say, we're saying unconditional love is one of the greatest principles that we can practice in our life to practice our divine nature. We want to practice our divine nature. Would you say that loving a person unconditionally with no judgments is unconditional, is divine nature, is beautiful? Would you say that?
Yes.
Yes, it'd be pretty nice. If your husband or your wife could love you unconditionally, my goodness, the greatest love story ever told will never be told because you're living it and enjoying it and being it. You love each other unconditionally. You never are thinking of, talking about, pressing any buttons that say you're not perfect, you're not wonderful, you're not magnificent. Yeah, should be here. Do you love your mom?
Yes.
Yep. Now, if I were you, I'd say, yes. But you love your mom?
Yes.
Good for you. Now, what does he do? Does he judge his mother? Does he say, Mother, you should bring home more money. Mother, you should get us a bigger house. Mother, you should do this, you should do that. Mother, you should do this. He doesn't say those things. What does he say? He says, Mom, you're the greatest mom in the world. Mom, you give me more things than I could ever dream of wanting or having. Mom, you're fantastic. Mom, I love you. And you know what his mom would do? His mom would bend over backward to give him more and more and more. He would open up the box of all good in his life, as he has done already, and as he continues to do. He keeps encouraging his mom to run any path that delights and pleases her, to be a banker, to be a teacher, to be whatever. He says, Mom, you're the greatest. Mom, you're the greatest. Your students must really love you and think that you're wonderful. And Mom goes to work with that smile in her heart. And she is a fabulous success. Now, do you think that they have a good relation between mother and son?
Yes.
You bet. Has any husband and wife such a beautiful relationship?
Yes.
They can.
They can.
They do. Now, is that your divinity?
Yes.
Is that living your divinity? Is that practicing
your
divinity? Very much. Very much. It should be being a divine person. Super divine. Is he better than all the rest of us?
No.
Yes, he is.
He is.
He's better than all the rest of us doing what he's doing. Are we better than he is doing what we're doing? He would never think of doing the things we're doing.
Yes.
You know? And we're the best. We're the best doing the things we're doing. We're the best being unconditional lovers. He's the best being an unconditional lover with his mom. I mean, no child can ever come along in the world and have the unconditionally loving relationship between his mother and himself like he does. Because he's special. His relationship is special. His mom is special. His world is special. Now, what about you? Do you have a special world? Who is he hooked up with? Who is his power source? His divinity. The divine in him is his power source. The divine in his mother is a power source. And that is never ending. They can have somebody turn off the electricity on them, but the power source in them never goes dim, never goes out, because they live in this beautiful divinity that they are. And you do too. You live in the beautiful divinity that you are, and you are fantastic. Now, are you really fantastic? Are you really wonderful? Are you really living your divinity? Are you unconditionally loving?
Yes.
Now, Manuel,
are
you unconditionally loving? And the answer is no.
Yes.
Emmanuel is a good fellow, but Emmanuel has a problem that he wants to let go of. He needs to feel that he's appreciated. He needs to feel that he's wanted. He needs to feel that people like him. He needs to feel that the world thinks he's just the greatest guy that ever came along. He needs to feel this. Now, if you have, and we're going to help you with that feeling, if you have a feeling like that, anybody can come along and possess you. They can like you, and you will kiss their feet. They can like you, and you will do anything they want you to do. They'll like you, and they will own you. Now, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want anyone to own him except himself. And to be a person that no one can own except yourself is when you absolutely 100% like yourself. And when you like yourself, you do not put on a show for anybody, you put on a show for yourself. You are who you are, and you are happy, and you are fantastic, and you are glorious, and you don't need anything to show to anybody or be to anybody to show them how good you are. You practice unconditional love, first of yourself, and then you practice unconditional love of everybody in your world. Now, your wife loves you unconditionally, but you don't love her unconditionally. You love her because. You love her because. You love her because. And you didn't do this on purpose. You did this because of habit. As long as we love anything because, so long as that because is there, we are possessed by our love in that nature. You love your wife because she's a lovely, beautiful person. You love your wife because she's a good cook. You love your wife because she tends the children well. You love your wife because she loves you, because she thinks you're a nice person. She thinks you're a good person. She doesn't want to leave you for anything in the world. She is just very happy. But you love her because. And wherever she loves you because, that's not too cool either. But we're not talking about her. We're talking about you. Now, how can you, Mr. Magic Emmanuel, how can you love yourself unconditionally and never need to have anything to prove how good you are to anybody? How can you love yourself unconditionally? And the way you can love yourself unconditionally, the way we all can love ourselves unconditionally.
I like me.
I'm sorry?
I like me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know the answer. See, you know it before I even said it. You told him, didn't you? Chittery, you told him. Yes, you did. You told him the answer. That's why he's so smart. No, you know the answer. You always knew it. Now, you, right now, you know the answer.
Yes.
And if you didn't know the answer, you couldn't tell me because you could not say something that you didn't understand. And you'd say, why is it that I want people to like me? Why is it that I need to have people like me? Why is it that I need to have people appreciate me? Why? You run for political office. People run for political office because they need to be liked. They want people to like them and vote for them and put them in office. I mean, they're weak. They're weak. And then they want to run your country for you and anybody else's country that they can get a hold of. But now, you like yourself. How do you say, I like me?
I like me.
Simple. No other way. I like me. I like me.
I like me.
Now, how can you, in all of your ignorant past, like yourself unconditionally when you got all that past that says you didn't like yourself? How can you like yourself unconditionally?
I live with the past.
You live in the past?
No, I live.
In the present.
Let go.
Oh, you let go of the past. No. I mean, we have said this before and again we'll say it. We don't let go of the past. We live in the present, therefore there's no past.
No past.
If you live in the now, there's no before now. There's no other time.
I live in the present.
You live in the present. You live in the now. You live in the now. And what do you say of yourself in the now?
I like you.
Excellent. Now, what happens when you say that now about yourself? You like yourself.
I like myself.
You're a happy guy. You're unconditionally loving. You love yourself without any excuse. You love other people in your world without any excuse.
I love my creation.
You love your which?
My creations.
Youth?
This world.
My creations.
Your creation.
His world.
His world, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I needed that. He loves his world. That's good. Now, where'd the world come from? Anybody?
He created it.
He created it. Where'd his world come from? He created it. No wonder he loves it. Smart man to love what you create. But to create what you love is the better way even. You love yourself, so you create everyone seeing in you what you see. But you don't really create them seeing. What your eyes see is what is. And if you see everybody loving you, then you're a good creator. If you see everybody doubtful about you, or second-guessing you, or thinking, are you the right person to do this here, or are you not the right person? If you see that, then you better clean up your own act of I like me, and get busy, get busy, get busy, get busy. This is your divinity. This is living your divinity. This is expressing your divinity. Now, what would your wife think of you as this new person? My wife has never thought of me in any other way than as this new person that I'm finally thinking of myself as. She always thinks that I'm the most wonderful guy in the world. She always thinks that I am the handsomest guy in the world. She always thinks that I'm the best lover in the world. She always thinks I'm the best father in the world. She always thinks I'm the best husband in the world. She always thinks I am the most. And she's right, of course, you know. She's right, of course. And you see, when you create your world through your eyes that see yourself as a beautiful person, then the world reflects to you what you see yourself. However, if you see yourself as a good-for-nothing, if you see yourself needing to be loved, needing to be appreciated, needing to have someone understand you, needing to have someone feel sorry for you, then you will create a world around you of people who feel sorry for you and people who have compassion for you and people who say, oh, poor Emmanuel, he blundered again. He made another mistake. He's a dumb, dumb, dumb. You know, poor Emmanuel. And you don't want that. But you create a world that sees that if you see that in you. Because whatever you see in you, you reflect outwardly and all in your world think that about you. So, what kind of a man are you, Emmanuel? You can start out saying, I like me.
My divine man.
You know.
Ideal man.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. When you do that, then everything else grows beautifully from that premise. Good idea?
Yes.
Good idea.
Good idea.
Yes.
Now, you're the only person in this room who is facing that circumstance. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Now, the rest of us look at you and we say, I think I have little room for improvement there. I'm going to work on that project like Emmanuel did. I am going to recognize that I like me. I'm going to recognize that I'm a nice guy. I am going to love the bejabbers out of my family and my friends. I am going to unconditionally accept every person in my world as a reflection of myself, beautiful, fantastic, and etc. You see, let yourself flow. Let yourself flow with the ideas of the positive thinking, the idea of the positive attitudes, the idea of I like me, the ideas of all is good and very good. Yeah. When you do that, results happen. You want to say something that adds to what we're saying?
No, I say all is in divine order.
Well, that's good too. That's good too. But all would have to be in divine order for you to have the life experience that you've just shown to us. And that's great. Anybody else who had a point? All right. We will take a pause before we have our next lecture, and we'll come back at, let's say, 5 or 10 after 2? 4?
4.
Hmm?
5
after 4? Okay, so that gives you about 8, 9 minutes. So, 5 after 4. So, come back, and we will continue with our next session, and I'm sure it'll be just as stimulating as the one we just had.
Yes.
I love you.